Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee. I can't show you what this says because I realized my husband gave me a not so nice cup this morning. But grab your cup of coffee anyway, sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today. October 28th, just three more days left in October, 3 days until we have the next full moon, the blue moon, where it promises to be highly energetic with the moon in conjunction to Uranus. Expect explosions or surprises or excitement of some sort going on as we move into the time of the lunar cycle where we're releasing or where we're receiving revelations and ahas. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and on Friday. Today, we are going to be taking a look at the 10th house in your astrology chart. So this is a great time. Have your personal astrology chart, your natal chart with you. I don't know that we'll cross over into any human design information today, but it's always a good idea just to have that available in the off chance that we move into that territory as well. And be ready with your questions. I think some people may have questions today about that and about the 10th house, about the difference between even the 10th house and the 6th house. So we'll talk about that. It is a fairly quiet day astrologically, as really the moon has just recently moved into Aries. So Aries energy is being uplifted. It's coming into our awareness, but the moon won't make it as far as some of the planets that would normally get triggered. With the exception today, the moon is probably, let's see, it's at 2 degrees now. Yeah, in just a few hours, the moon will actually come into contact with Chiron. So there may be some emotional healing going on today, perhaps some emotional wounding. The biggest aspect the moon makes today is in opposition to Venus. And that is Venus in the sign right now of Libra, 0 degrees of Libra, having just moved in there the other day. So the moon having just moved into the sign of Aries puts it in opposition there. And so there may be some tension. Maybe you're feeling between you and another person close to you in your life, a significant other, husband or spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. And if you're feeling that kind of tension, it's because this opposition of the moon, our emotional feelings that are in a sign that's kind of more about conflict or confrontation, and Venus in Libra affecting our relationships. So what we have is the opportunity to do some healing perhaps with our relationships, or in some way to see how the wound is triggered by certain things that happen in the conversation you have with a loved one, or in the different challenges and opportunities that come up in front of you. Now, the moon in Aries, we could talk about, and the moon in Aries, of course, is bold. It is a bold moon. It's amazing to me how many women that I have attracted in my life that have the moon, their natal moon in Aries. And I realize as I think about that, that is a call to my professional career 10th house myself, as I have Aries sitting there. So maybe I'm drawing to me women that are showing me how to move forward in that particular area of my life. So I always like to think about, and you guys should do this too, think about the people that you draw to you in your life. What are there, if you know astrology well enough, you could say, oh yeah, I draw a lot of Scorpios to me, or I draw a lot of people with the sun in the 10th house or career house or something like that. I also notice in human design, we call these fractals. So we all tend to bring to the table certain energies, and those energies draw in a certain fragment or fractal or part of society. So for example, I notice that I do a lot of readings for projectors, which is kind of odd since I'm a generator. I do far fewer readings for generators and manifesting generators than I do for projectors, which I always think is an interesting little factoid. And I know that sometimes that changes. I noticed yesterday as I was going back and doing all the charts that had been requested since last Friday, they were strangely enough, mostly manifesting generators. And I'm like, what is up with manifesting generators? Like out of 10 charts, 8 of them were manifesting generators, one manifester, one projector, and the rest manifesting generators. Very odd. So I watch the fractals that are coming in because it gives me some key information about myself. So if you notice, for example, that you draw a lot of people with specific issues, you might be able to trace that issue to the house it is in your chart. And you might see that you have maybe your prenatal solar eclipse there, and it's something that you're here to learn and then teach others. So we are, you know, like we say all the time, you're all in this, we're all in this together. And sometimes you can tell that there's something specific that you need to learn by the kinds of people that you're attracting to you or the kinds of lessons that those people are teaching you. So let me say a quick good morning to everybody. I saw Asa just checked in with me, and let me mute that. There we go. So good morning, Asa. It's good to see you. Amy Energy, hello. And looking beautiful and magical this morning. So I've changed clothes twice now. I had on blue with the intention of wearing a long sleeve rust colored shirt. And when I looked at it's a dark blue as opposed to the other kinds of blues I wear. And I looked at my eyes in the mirror and I went, nope, ain't wearing that. Off came the clothes and something else. And then I was like, oh, now I look like I'm all white. Oh, well, whatever, right? I didn't have time to change again. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Andy Girl, good morning. And Ingrid, hello, buongiorno. And Kathleen Mallory, hello to you as well. Mary Stevens, welcome. And Michael Watley, good to see you again. J-Lo, hey girl, it's good to have you with us this morning. Pauline Blenner, good morning. Loanne, good morning. Elisa, good morning. Amy Energy says, that's funny. Janet, you are a Gemini and attract Aries moon. I'm a Gemini moon and attract Aries sun. Also, Aries is in my eighth house. So it's interesting because, you know, I do so many different kinds of readings and I talk to so many different kinds of people, and then I rarely look at my own chart. So this morning I had noticed that I cleared off a bunch of paper yesterday off my chart, off my desk. And I looked down and I saw my own chart and I'm like, Jupiter's in my eighth house? What? But I realized that I have changed to the whole sign, right? That whole sign house setup. So everything is different in my own chart. I hadn't really looked at it that closely. I could have sworn that Jupiter and Saturn were in a conjunction in my seventh house. Well, Saturn's still in my seventh house, but Jupiter moved to the eighth house. Now I have to stop and consider, now, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? So I too question my chart and the aspects in my chart. And I will just sit with that. I don't necessarily need to go finding those answers. I'm just going to sit with that. And I'm going to see how that feels with Jupiter in the eighth house, the planet of growth and expansion in a house of transformation. Maybe that's why every once in a while my whole life seems to throw over. And it's like a do-over, many, many do-overs in my life, it seems like. So, and I've been also looking at that because I knew that after Christmas time, after the winter solstice, when Jupiter and Saturn both move into Aquarius, they're both going to move across my natal Jupiter. So I don't know what to think about that now. So again, I learn just as you, as we talk about these things. And then I look at my own chart and go, oh my God. Courtney, good morning to you. Taylor Jenkins, good morning. Great to see everybody out there. So let's talk a little bit more about Aries. By the way, this morning, my information chart is fairly empty. Time was lost this morning. I was up in time. Everything seemed to be going fine. I just don't know. All of a sudden it was 8 o'clock and I'm like, oh my God, I got to check in here. It was weird. So when we're talking about Aries, right, we're talking about the first sign of the zodiac. And because it is the first of the signs, then we think of it as being new beginnings, right? Aries has everything to do with new beginnings. So when we have the moon passing through Aries, we may have new emotions, new issues that pop up that we might need to deal with in new ways, right? That's always the potential, that we can deal with issues in new ways. There is a distinctly self-focused energy around Aries. It is, again, the first sign of the zodiac. It is in the house, the first house of I am. So it is, as you can tell, then a sign that really brings us close to home, home with ourselves. And it can feel to other people, that that Aries are sometimes very egocentric or very self-focused, but it's not so much a negative thing because that's who they're supposed to be. They're really testing the waters of their own identity and their own self. The moon transiting through here reminds us all that we are, and essentially we all have a first house. We all have Aries somewhere where the statement, I am, comes into play. Right? I am comes into play, or my beingness comes into play. And in that, there's a sort of innocence that comes through Aries that even though they may seem a little bit, self-centered, or like the world seems to revolve around them, we can often forgive them that because there's sort of an innocence about that kind of person who's really exploring the limits of who they are, their authenticity, right? Their own truth. And I know most of you out there aren't necessarily Aries or Arians, but you have Aries somewhere in your chart where you experience this kind of feeling of innocence or self-focus or the new beginning, the potential where there's new things popping up in your life. And Aries is primarily a sign of self-discovery, self-discovery. And any other word, self-sufficiency, anything, self-acceptance, anything that you can put the word self in front of, it likely has a connection to the sign of Aries. Aries is a sign that is learning independence. Initially, Aries and the Aries part of your chart may be where you depend upon others, or you have a sort of dependency going on that you are learning to let go of and moving more into your independence, right? Your independent self. And because the sign is ruled by the planet Mars, it also has an energy around courage, bravery, that warrior energy, right? I'm going to take my sword and my shield, and I'm going to go out in the world and start my hero's quest. And I'm going to find this journey. I'm going to step into my life's journey. So there is a lot of need for courage and being bold, right? The boldness to go, out, to step out into the world. I often think of Aries in the tarot as the card of the fool. And I don't know that there's an astrological connotation to the fool, but when I look at that, it's that same energy of that innocence moving outward and going out for an adventure. And who knows if there's a cliff there that I might walk over. There are many different cliffs that we walk over, doesn't necessarily mean the one that's going to take our lives, but we are often moving outward into new territory when the moon or any other planets for that matter are in the sign of Aries. And right now we have Chiron in Aries. We have Mars in retrograde in Aries, and we have Eris in Aries. So we have some cantankerous energy here. And when the moon comes through here, it sort of prompts us to look inward at ourselves or look outward even at our path in front of us and our lives to discuss with ourselves, are we moving in the right direction? Is this where I really want to be? Am I being kind and generous and authentic to me, right? What's right for me? Because if it's not right for you, and you're doing everything that's right for everybody else, then you're too far over into the Libra opposite side, and that's where the sun is, or the sun has been, and that's where Venus just moved. So we're sitting here looking at then the possibility of where are we giving too much of ourselves away? The moon calls us back here in the sign of Aries to look again to make sure that what you're doing, what you're giving, what you're sharing of yourself is helping you as much as it is helping others. And in a way, with this Aries moon, we're also asked to let go of any negative self-absorption that we have going on, where we've been so focused inward that we've forgotten there's an outer world that we're playing with, that there are other people in our lives or other interesting things for us to do besides just focus on ourselves. So we're looking at both the positive of self-sufficiency and being independent and so forth, having courage and leadership abilities. But we're also having to make sure we balance that against the lack of awareness for other people, the more shadowy energies of Aries. Aries in its more negative aspects can be selfish, what we consider selfish. It can be vain. It can have impulsive actions, right? It's ruled by Mars, impulse, right? Not patient. And anger and impatience also can be some of the more negative aspects of Aries energy. In the body, Aries rules the head. It rules the face, the scalp, the brain. And so things like headaches, migraines, dizziness, those kinds of things come through Aries in the chart. It also rules the eyes and acne. Weird, right? but anything that happens, you know, with the face. So we have some really good energies. We also have some things to watch out for. And with Chiron in the mix, in the sign, it's likely that some people might be triggered by other people's actions, what you might perceive as other people's selfishness or self-centeredness. And when I look at self-centeredness, I don't see it so much as negative. I see selfishness as possibly an attribute that we would want to work on. But self-centered to me isn't so bad, right? It's that I'm supporting of myself. And from that position, then I can help others. But if I have no strength, how can I possibly help others, right? So self-centered to me is a positive and not so much a negative, although self-centered can move into selfish territory. So we have to watch how we're working with that energy in our own personal lives, in our own personal charts. That is it as far as the transits go for the day. There's nothing big going on in terms of, big planetary energies. It's almost like we're holding our breath for that full moon on Saturday, full moon. Some of you might have it on Sunday because of the nature of time, right? I believe it's Australia that experiences the full moon on November 1st. But all of us here in the US and Europe, we have the full moon experience on Halloween. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy, we are now closing in on the end of the week, right? At 12 loving today. Loving in the Mayan calendar was Lamat, and Lamat was the depiction of the planet Venus. So we had Venus as a planet that the Mayans really watched. They didn't do much with the moon. I mean, of course, they watched, you know, it moved through different phases, but they were really a society that was built upon Venus and Venus's movement through the sky. In fact, long before anybody else knew that what Venus's transits looked like, they knew about Venus and her different phases, and the fact that she made a star pattern in the sky from one start of the orbit to the end. And so they were very keyed into Venus. And so this particular day, Lamat, or loving energy, was very impactful on them as a society. And to them, Venus was about the societal energy. So how they were as a culture together. And what Venus was doing often gave them a portent of the future socially. So it might point to the death of a king. It might point to a warring tribe interfering in their day-to-day business. It could, you know, Venus showed them what it was that they were meant to be doing. So Venus itself in loving energy is all about enthusiasm and productivity of, you know, feeling good and moving forward. But it is also the day sign that brings up contrarian energies. So people who carry loving energy, as loving as they are in most cases, are also the ones that are going to be contrary. They're the ones that are going to create the conflict, or they're the ones that are going to sit in conflict with other people. Because why? They're learning to transmute that energy of conflict into love, applying loving energy to all parts of their life, to all people in their life. So a day today, like today, brings that up. You might be triggered by somebody in your world, in your life, but you don't have to hold that contrary energy except to note how you feel. Where is it in your body? Is this something primarily in your mind? And then shift it with love energy. Applying love to things shifts that energy. Today's universal energy is the 12. 12 is the sign of understanding, or the number of understanding, looking back and pulling all the parts together of what you started back on October 17th with one evolving energy. And what does that mean? How are you evolving? What's changed? What earthquakes have happened in your life that have shaken you up, shaken your core, changed up the trajectory perhaps of where it is that you're going, of what you're doing, who you're doing that with, and how can you apply new understanding to that? Because that's today's energy, which leads us tomorrow into the void of ascending through those problems and into the next level of our evolution or our spiral of consciousness. So today's an important day for us to be loving, to be kind, but note where it is that you're holding on to that contrary conflict, sort of confrontational even energy. Asa, good morning. She has a question. Courtney is asking, and it went away. How can we find if we have any health aspects in our chart? Well, let's look at that the other way. Let's look at it where you have, what health aspects are you experiencing in your life right now? So where are you having, like my daughter had a raging migraine yesterday and the day before. And I'm like, oh, right. She has an Aries rising sign. There's Mars in Aries, there's Chiron in Aries, and I knew that that is likely something was triggering. She has planets in Aries in that first house, so I knew something was triggering it. And I had a feeling it was about identity, she's about to shift jobs, and she's changed her home, and you know, just lots of things, crazy things happening in her life. So I thought not unbelievable that she would have a migraine of that sort of caliber. And if you're someone who's experiencing lots of problems with your feet, then I would look to Pisces in your chart because Pisces rules the feet. If you're having a lot of problems with your teeth or your bones or your joints or your connective tissues, look to Capricorn, look for Saturn in your chart. What are they doing? Because the body is really just the picture of energy that when your body is ill at ease or not feeling well, it is only an outpicturing, a physical representation of where there's an energy imbalance in the spiritual, mental, emotional realms. The physical is the last to pick up that problem. So as you look at your body, Courtney, or whatever it is that's you're observing at this moment in your body, what does that look like to you, right? Is it knee problems? Likely look at Saturn. Right? Look at Saturn, look at Capricorn. And we know Capricorn's under pressure, right? It has Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn, Pallas Athena in it. You may be experiencing issues in setting up a new foundation or making your life stable again after a big change. And so you're being asked to rebuild a stronger foundation with more sustainable, in a more sustainable way. And of course, there are other meanings you can look to. What book is that I have by Doreen? No, not Doreen Virtue. What is her name? I forgot her name. Little thin book. Older lady, Louise Hay. That's what it is. Aha, this little book. Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. You can look up any number of conditions that you have. And you can see, for example, amnesia is all about fear, running from life, inability to stand up for the self. There is an affirmation to help you get through that. Let's see, I just saw something that said anger, giving away your power and effectiveness. Well, teeth. Okay, here we go. Teeth problems. Teeth represent decisions. And so longstanding indecisiveness, inability to break down ideas for analysis and decisions. So it's real simple, right? Now, if you want to know from the other point of view, for example, you want to know how health looks in your body in terms of astrology, how does it look? How much strength do you have to overcome illness, et cetera? Then you look to your sixth house. Remember, we talked about the sixth house. It rules the body in terms of the health of the body. and what toxins it can are, is it responding to? Is it toxins in the physical environment? Is it toxins from emotions, mental toxins, etc.? But the first house actually rules the vitality of the body. And if you have a lot of malefic planets, if you will, in that first house, your body may be under pressure just from, you know, coming into the planet, right? Some people are born with specific issues and so forth that they're somehow working through. It serves them in some way, right? Anything going on in your body is of service to you in some way, shape, or form. We don't always look at it like that, because who wants to think that that, you know, autoimmune disease is serving you in some way? But it is, right? It's serving you in through some form of teaching, calling your attention to some place in your life that you aren't paying enough attention to, or that you've paid too much attention to. So your body's really sort of a barometer of what you're still working on in this lifetime, right? In this lifetime. So I hope that answers your question, Courtney. If you have something more specific that you want to ask about the body or something that you're experiencing, you know, please do. I know other people might gain from that kind of conversation as well. For now, let me go back here and see, am I missing anything? Good morning, Allison and J-Lo, OMG, that sounds like me sometimes. J-Lo, like a Libra scale, and I've learned so much. So breathe through it and pause through all the emotions in life and change it all. For example, J-Lo, you've just recently been involved in an accident. And I don't remember if that was an automobile accident, perhaps. And not, this isn't about laying blame on you for your physical conditions. But what does an accident represent to you? The need to slow down, perhaps? To stay in your body, perhaps you keep jumping out of awareness, right? Anytime there is an issue, you can look to that part of the body and ask that question, what is this showing me? Courtney says, I have Pluto in the first. Well, Pluto rules the elimination system, right? The lower, the bowels, and how we release toxins from the body via the bowels. So if you have issues around digestion or being able to move your bowels, for example, Pluto here can show you where it is that you're holding on to tightly. You know, it also rules partly the reproductive area. So the uterus and the fallopian tubes and all of that type of thing are also a part of Pluto as the ruler of Scorpio. So focus then on where are you out of alignment with the divine feminine, or where are you subjecting the divine, you know, subjecting, what is that word? Subjugating the divine feminine. So again, it's not an exact science, but we can certainly gain some insight by looking at the part of the body that's out of whack. And what does that mean? For example, when I was diagnosed 2 years ago with diabetes, which pissed me off because I was like, how did I come up with that one? No one else in my family has that. So how did that show up in my world? In human design, it is a channel. That when it's out of whack, the channel of emoting, that when it's out of whack can lead to diabetes. So now I have to look at my emotional state. Now I have to look at what am I suppressing? What anger am I suppressing? Because typically I'm pretty jovial and easygoing and I do get angry. I don't, you know, ever not get angry, but what was that showing me? So I've had to sit with that one for a couple of years now, trying to figure out what does that all mean? And how is it that I can heal that? Because I know I also have the power to heal it, right? That I don't have to buy into that my body is, you know, somehow in, you know, bad shape. I can just look at that and determine where is that in my experience, right? And how can I heal that, right? I have that ability. Sorry, it wasn't, Puffing Pixie has Saturn in the first house. So Saturn in the first house can confer a very strong body, very sturdy, very resilient. If you have issues, say with bones, connective tissue, the gallbladder, knees, teeth, then there's possibly an issue going on with Saturn in your chart. And since Saturn is moving through a sign he owns, Capricorn, at least until December 21st, if issues popped up over the last 3 years, it would go to your structure, your foundation, your form. You know, where are you not being true to you? The first house is all about you. So we have the ability to do these things, right? We can look into our own body and go, it was like when we were talking with Sylvester one day and he said he was having a lot of kidney issues. Kidney issues often are a Libra function, as Libra rules the adrenals that sit on top of the kidneys, as well as the kidneys themselves, and burning out, right? Doing too much, people pleasing, taking care of others before oneself has a lot to do with where Libra is likely in his chart. So we talked about how does one take care of oneself, right? How does one slow down, take a break, right? And not instead of becoming a human doing, looking at more of the beingness of his life, in his life. So anyway, that's just sort of how I use this kind of information. And it's always pulling me back to look at the chart and go, okay, this is where that's showing up. So, and it's not, say, a death sentence to have Pluto in your first house or to have Pluto in any one of the houses. I've seen plenty of people that had Pluto in their eighth house that live long, long lives. So the Lord of Death in the house of death doesn't necessarily mean death. It's just a matter of what it is that you can use to look at yourself deeper and to see what's going on under the surface. Pauline, Uranus in the first house, what health issues? Well, first of all, that doesn't tell me much of anything, right? Because I don't know what sign is on your first house, Pauline. But Uranus, the nature of Uranus is surprises, right? Surprising things that happen to you, you personally. And the health in your body, maybe things that come out when you least expect it. Falling down the stairs, twisting your ankle, getting in an accident. Again, of course, that depends on the sign that you have that in. Michael Watley, I have Saturn in the first house. When I was a kid, I had brittle bones and I had a lot of broken bones. Saturn in the first house. What sign was that in, Michael? And Kathleen says, very interesting discussion. I always love these kinds of discussions, right? To see if we can, because it reminds me of pulling threads. One of my favorite things to do as a Gemini, seeing where one thing leads to another and finding out then what it is that's going on based on the chart, but also my own knowledge of the chart. So Pauline says she has Leo in the first house. That would make me think about heart issues or the spine, back issues, right? Your back going out. And depending on what spine process that was, you can tell where the anger or upset is. Lower back is often financial insecurities. And as you go up the back and you have different things that might be out of like the shoulder areas, could be carrying too many burdens, carrying burdens that aren't your own, that kind of thing. So Michael, what is the sign that you have on your first house and the planets in the first house? So Saturn in the first house, but what other connections is Saturn making? That's the next layer that we would have to look at. Is Saturn squaring Pluto? Like, or is Saturn squaring Uranus? Those can be some pressures on the body to cause, you know, some physical manifestations of issues. J-Lo, that was interesting example, as I have Uranus in Scorpio at 0 degrees. Talk about rebirth and surprise. There you go. In Pisces, Saturn is not so thrilled in Pisces, Michael. So, maybe it shows that you weren't so thrilled as a soul to come into the physical world, but you had something you must do here. And those first 7 years for you were like, oh no, I left my womb. Oh no, I left God or I left Source, and having to be in the physical body and not quite sure yet how to use those bones and those that sturdiness in the physical realm. Maybe you'd spent many, many lifetimes in spirit and not so much in the physical. So kind of managing the physical realm may have been difficult for you. And hopefully that isn't something that you're experiencing now. Saturn square Pluto and Uranus, eek, right? Right? The squares challenging you to, you know, almost like a dare. I dare you to live on this planet. I dare you to ground yourself into this planet and live a physical existence. And so there you have it. Andy girl, Capricorn, or I have Saturn in Capricorn in my sixth house. I love that you have Saturn in California. That is something my phone would do. If I was on my phone typing to someone, it types all kinds of weird shit sometimes. Andy says Capricorn, Saturn in Capricorn. So Saturn, it rules Capricorn. So wherever that is in your chart, if that's on your first house, no, you said sixth house, it confers good health, right? Or at least a sturdiness and a resilience to life. Even in the face of illness, being able to overcome that easily and, you know, with little effort on your part. Mary Stevens, I have Leo and natal south node in the 10th. What significance is this? Well, we're going to talk about the 10th house here in just a moment, Mary. So maybe we'll wait to answer that question until then. Michael Watley said, oh, got that. And Courtney, my first house is Libra. I struggled with adrenal fatigue last year. Doing too much, right? We're in your human design. When you see the motors open, the motors like the heart center, the emotional center, the sacral center, or the root center, when they're open, these are often places in your chart where you don't know when enough is enough, where you don't know when to stop doing, when you don't know when to stop working, and you skip the beat that your body's giving you, that it's tired or it needs water or it needs food, it needs exercise, and you just keep going and going and going. It's sort of like the Energizer Bunny that doesn't really have good batteries and it's about to wear down. So sometimes that can show you where it is that you're pushing the river instead of allowing the river to take you, right? The flow. So lots of different things that we can say about that. Asa, Michael. Okay, got that. Thank you, Asa. All right, so let's go to the main lesson of the day, which is all about the 10th house. And I love this discussion. This is awesome, but I do have a purpose today, and it is to tell you about this 10th house. The 10th house in your chart is the house of career and profession, and the authority that you have in your life. It is your public persona, the face that you show to the world, or who you are in the world. The 10th house in a chart is ruled by Saturn and by Capricorn. So Capricorn's the sign in the natural wheel of the zodiac that rules the 10th house, and Saturn as the ruler of Capricorn also holds rulership then over the 10th house. Now, we also talked about the sixth house. Besides the body, the sixth house also rules work, service, right? How we give back and what we do. So the sixth house defines how you make a living, the jobs you have or the income streams that you're tapped into. Where the 10th house is more about your life's work, right? How you're seen in the world and your contribution to society. Often the 10th house is more of the dream job. If you could do anything, like I love this saying, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? That's the 10th house. Where's that? What's the bigger dream that's out there on the horizon? And how does that, how do you go about getting there, right? Where the sixth house may show all the jobs that you have on your path to becoming your 10th house authority. So I hope that clears that up, because there's just a difference there. One has the more boots on the ground, this is what I'm doing, while the 10th house is more, this is the role I would like to play in society, right? For me, it would be the role of playing astrologer, right? Astrologer, but the work I do in my chart is in Sagittarius. So it is following my passion. It is knowledge and sharing knowledge. So the actual work I do is about teaching, while the bigger career profession goal was spiritual and astrology. So the 10th house also rules our social status. What social status have you attained, right? Think about when you go to a party and you don't know anybody, what the first questions are, what do you do for a living, right? Kind of so we can get a feel for that person and their authority. Maybe we're looking to see their relative prosperity in life. Are they beneath us? Are they above us? Are they equal to us? Those kinds of questions. We're looking at what maybe their reputation is, or it rules our own reputation, how we're remembered. So on the day that you die, how do you want to be remembered comes through that 10th house. It's the role that you take on in society. It is the kind of achievements or recognition that you will gain throughout your life. And it is likely the house, we could say, is how you manifest yourself in the world. your career goals and ambitions, your drive to succeed, also is a part of the 10th house experience. And in that, then you're also part of an employer's rules, perhaps, like maybe you're employed as through a company or a corporation or the government, right? The government is also ruled by the 10th house. So you're the rules that you work under, right? That you have to live by, the values, the corporate identity, that type of thing, the ethics of the institutions that you're a part of, your own personal ethics and morality, morals, transparency, et cetera, come through that 10th house. How you use your power and status, also shown in the 10th house. Will you use your power and your influence to help society, or reckless use of power, right? We can see that plainly in the world right now, in governments and in the way that people handle all these different challenges that we've experienced over the year. Is it in a role of helping, or is it reckless? So that's a part of that 10th house. Does society come together to support you in what you're doing, right? So that's also shown by the 10th house in a chart. The 10th house is, in some astrology, they'll call it the house of the mother. I tend to think of it as the role of the father and the authority figures that are in your life. But I'm also going to tell you that society has changed and family roles have changed so much that the 10th house is really maybe more about the dominant parent, whether that's a parent that's a masculine or a feminine, doesn't matter so much anymore, but it is who you looked to as a child, as the authority figure in your life. If you were raised in a single parent home and that parent happened to be the mother, then the mother's playing both the role of the mother in the fourth house and the father of the 10th house. So that's an important thing to look at because it goes to how you view authority, your own personal power. Signs on the 10th house and planets in the 10th house or on the 10th house cusp, let's say, tell the story of your calling or your life's work, the occupation of your dream job, right? So I've had Aries on my 10th house, no matter what house group I use, I end up with Aries on the first house. It's almost like it was a foregone conclusion that I would be a leader or a manager, or I would be in my own business as an entrepreneur. And I always felt that even when I worked for a corporation, I wasn't satisfied being down in the lower rung. I worked my way up through, this was a sales corporation. So I moved through sales person, inside, outside, sales management, operations management, regional management. And then I went, I'm not sure this is what I want to do, right? I'm not sure I like this. This is, you know, yeah, I have some power and influence. I have, you know, some things I can do for people, but eventually my true calling came on. And that was about owning my own business, having my own, being my own boss. Aries on the 10th house then often is someone with that entrepreneurial spirit or that need to have their own boss or be the boss. So the signs on the 10th cusp and those planets are going to tell that story. The 6th house may show the jobs you do while you're working toward your big dream job in the 10th. So while the 6th house can have a lot of different planets in it, showing you maybe the different ways that you've worked or the different jobs that you worked, the 10th house really holds what it is that your heart is connected to. So for example, we tell this to projectors quite often, you know, they are the ones that have to wait for the invitations into the big things in life. So we tell the projectors that because they'll inevitably ask, well, what do I do between invitations, right? What do I do while I'm waiting? Well, you go out and you live your life doing whatever it is that you love to do or as much, you know, bringing as much joy and experiencing as much joy as you can until the next big invitation comes that pulls you into a new thing. Well, you can often see that in their 6th house in an astrology chart with the different jobs that they may have had, the different functions in the way that they serve while they're waiting for their 10th house big invitation to come to enter into what really makes them happy and what really supports them. So the sixth house then shows the actual hands-on things that you're doing, the work that you do in the bigger dream of the 10th house. Now, planets, if you have planets, so looking at your chart, do you have planets in the later degrees of the 10th house, whatever sign that is? Those last degrees of the 10th house that are on the cusp of the 11th kind of rule true governmental work. So when I see planets sitting in the later degrees of whatever it is in the 10th house, it's often somebody that's working in an institution, working for the government through medical, through libraries, through education systems, healthcare systems, etc. Or it becomes an entryway for them into the world of power. And that's because the cusp of the 11th house shows that there are people, networks of people or friends, power in powerful places. And they tend to pull you along into that position of power or influence. So it can point to the assistance then if you're in the later degrees of that house of powerful people that help you get where you want to go. And that can also tell about how you own your leadership potential in your life, whether you are taking on that mantle of leadership or are you shucking it, right? Throwing it off because you don't want that, right? The first degrees of the 10th house, say like the first few degrees, are about creating your own career path and the fame you achieve by doing that. This is if planets in those first couple of degrees of the 10th house may show where someone who has a family of doctors, let's say, and they're expected to go to medical school and become a doctor, veers off that path and follows their own inclination into a different area, different territory. Those first few degrees are almost like pulling you, calling you into a different pathway than the original pathway of authority through a family line. So it's really interesting to look at the 10th house and all of the things that it rules. It is very much your public face, the face that you show to people. So thus it is the place where your reputation can fly or your reputation can suffer based on how it is that you greet that authority in your own life. Right? How it is that you work with the energy of authority. Are you a shy violet and you're very afraid to take on your own power? Or are you overly powerful and doing a power grab and creating havoc by trying to, you know, push yourself onto other people? Or are you right there, you know, taking and giving and living your solid truth and your solid authority? That's what we look at for the 10th house. Questions? I don't hear Asa tapping to me here, so I don't know that there are any questions yet, but I thought, let me go back here because somebody had a question about their 10th house. I think it was Mary. So Mary, I got to find you. She had a question. Mary Stevens, there we go. I have Leo and natal south node in the 10th. Now, let's deal with the south node first in the 10th. So a south node Leo, let's take it together. So Leo is a sign of drama. It is a sign of courage and strength. They're often leaders. There's a lot of leadership potential. It's a fire sign, right? So there's a lot of leadership potential, passion about something. And they are really meant to be seen and visible in life. Now the south node in a chart shows us what gifts, talents, and experiences we're bringing with us into this lifetime. And the south node would also tell us that we can't keep doing things the way we used to. We have to do them in new ways, right? So there's the possibility that the south node is showing you where you didn't take on the leadership mantle in a previous lifetime. And in this lifetime, you're finding yourself in that position. Maybe in a last life, you actually misused power. So you're in a karmic position of having to dispense karma in this lifetime. So you find yourself in service to other people often. No matter what, though, the South Node often shows you the experience of power. And so you can look at your own sense of power in this life, right now. Do you feel powerful? Do you feel empowered? And or are you more apt to hide yourself, right? Because Leo can suffer from a lack of confidence. when they're really meant to move outward. So if you have a Leo South node, you have an Aquarius North node. So likely in the South node, Leo, you served yourself in previous lifetimes. And in this lifetime, you're here to pour that knowledge, that wisdom, that leadership out toward a group, Aquarius, right? Group energy. So, and that would be in your fourth house. So that might be family. It might be community. It might be a heritage kind of thing that you're engaged with. Your 10th house Leo, though, would show you what draws you in. It could be acting. It could be leadership of any kind. It could be the arts. It could be almost anything. Leo is very heart-centered, and they have to move toward what it is that their heart wants. And let's see, Michael, that was Michael's. We talked about that. Questions not there. What a sign means for their 10th house. Well, so if you look at your 10th house and you've got a sign there, look to see if you have any planets there as well, because the whole story is about the sign and the planets. So it's not just about the sign, although the sign will give you some hints. For example, like we said, Aries, if on the 10th, is often an entrepreneurial sign, the sign of someone who wants to be in the lead, a leader, not a follower. If you put Taurus there, Taurus on the 10th house might be someone who manages and allocates resources, a farmer, someone who loves the land, who works close to the land, whose real dream job is about growing things or about being feel good things, right? They might be people who are very sensual. You put Gemini there, it's information sharing and it's taking in information. It's following curiosity. It's communicating and talking. So they might have a lot of work or dreams for broadcasting, for writing, for acting, for speaking, right? Teaching, all of those kinds of things. Put Cancer there. The role now is mother or nurturer or healer. If you put Leo there, it's being the boss, it's being the drama queen or king, it's being seen as the leader, the president, the higher, you know, the higher power, people adoring you and looking up to you. Put Virgo there, and it's the worker bee, right? It's someone who's very practical and down to earth, and who sees the details of the world and, you know, works with the details and fixes things, puts them back into order. Virgo, Libra there, relationship orientation, right? Or you may have two jobs, right? I should have said that with Gemini too, two roles, two dreams because of the dual nature of that sign. But Libra is also artistic, loves the arts. I could see a museum curator, an artist, a feng shui consultant with Libra on the 10th. I could see a interior designer because they're involved with beauty and aesthetics. It could be craftspeople. Taurus there could also be very good craftspeople. Libra, after Libra comes Scorpio, your investigators, your police, your detectives, your psychologists, your people that go deep, right? That don't just deal with the superficial, but go to the deep, to the depth, puzzle solvers, so that kind of thing. If you put Sagittarius there, they may be your religious leaders. They could be your mentors, your teachers, your the people that you want that show up as the people want to follow, right? Sagittarians there, they could be your adventurers. Maybe they have a real adventurer spirit in the 10th house and their dream is to travel the world, to climb Mount Kilimanjaro or whatever other mountains there are out there, right? They have that adventurer spirit. After Sagittarius is Capricorn. These might be your business people, the ones who want to climb up, who do the due diligence, who have the stepping stones one after another that they're climbing to get to where they want to go. They have ambitions, they have goals, that they are the ones that would, the 10th house is ruled by Capricorn, right? So it's got a real affinity. They would be very concerned about their reputation, as Saturn rules that sign. So every mistake they make, everything that they do that others perceive as wronging them is going to be up in their faces. They're going to know in a moment their relative success or not success is going to tell them how well they're using their Saturn energy. Let's see, after Capricorn is Aquarius. maybe you're psychics, maybe you're astrologers, maybe you're divination type people, your inventors, right? Your people who are on the cutting edge of something, technology, that kind of thing. If we put Pisces there, we have maybe artists, we have the people who are compassionate hearts that do maybe advocating work, who, you know, all kinds of different in creative spiritual work comes through Pisces. So that's the lowdown. That's the quick and skinny version of the 10th house through the signs. Now, when you put different planets in there, it can elevate or increase the tension of what's happening in that 10th house. So again, that's based on your individual chart. So hopefully that answers some questions for people. Kathleen, part of fortune in the 10th house. So part of fortune is a symbol of what brings you joy. So working with the details, right? Seeing how all the little pieces build up together to form the big. The one thing that you would watch out for is a tendency to get so absorbed in the details that you forget to come up for a breath, step back and see the bigger picture and how all those little parts fit in. It's like doing a jigsaw puzzle, but all you see are the little pieces and you forget that this has a scene, right? That there's this bigger picture in that puzzle. So being able to see the details, yes, and to work with the details and see things that other people might miss, but then also having to take a breath and step back sometimes to see the bigger picture. Michael Watley has Sagittarius in the 10th house. There's that adventurer, right? There's that explorer. What do you want to discover? What more do you want to do? I mean, there's a sense of freedom that a Sagittarius 10th house might want. It's sort of like my Aries energy out there that wants to be the entrepreneur, but is more adventurous than that, wants to do something way different. So you may have several different jobs that support your being able to do whatever you want to do on the weekends, or that support your excursions through different countries or through, you know, doing different adventures. In other words, you're someone who looks at, wants to engage life and wants to be seen as a discoverer or an explorer or that adventurous heart. Let's see. Where was I? That was Michael. Okay. So Taylor, I have Lilith and my part of fortune in my 10th with Scorpio and Libra over it. I'm going to go with your, you've got one of the older charts I did. I'm doing whole sign now. So I'd have to say Libra is likely on your 10th, maybe Scorpio. It's hard to say, but with Lilith there, before you can really gain your reputation, before you can really gain your authority, you're going to have to deal with the shadow energy there. And the shadow energy, depending on what sign Lilith is in, it's either about being overly concerned about winning and losing, being overly competitive, or it might be about being perfectionistic and waiting for that perfect moment or waiting for that perfect job and or that perfect opportunity. And you miss it because it was presented, it was perfect, but you were waiting for that next perfect one. So you'll have to overcome that shadow first before you really embark upon that journey of your 10th house of authority. J-Lo says, my 10th house is Pisces in whole signs. My MC is there, late degree, where it's at keeping my eyes peeled. So the 10th house Pisces is an artist, right? There's an artist, a dreamer. There is someone who is very spiritual, who might be inclined to pursue spiritual paths, doing spiritual work, perhaps, studying the spiritual world. But also think of, you know, the artist, the dancer, the poet, the dreamer that brings to reality something of beauty, right? That helps those living in, you know, what they think of as an ugly world, some beauty, some wisdom to be able to help go through life. Courtney, I've done yours. Adrian Jones, 10th house question. I've got Uranus in the 10th, which I've read a bit about, but also Metis in the 10th. And I find it hard to find info on Metis per house. I welcome your insights. So you don't need to go, you don't need to know about Metis in the 10th house. You just need to know what the 10th house is all about, right? It's about your authority. Now, Metis, is a fixed star, I believe. I don't know much about it, but for some reason, it sticks in my mind that it brings acclaim, that it brings wisdom, that it brings recognition, perhaps. I think it's a good fortune kind of star, but I'm not sure because it's not one that I know much about, at least not yet. So what I would say is that Metis in your 10th house would bring you eventually some form of acknowledgement or recognition in whatever realm it is that you're out there working. So Metis is a fixed star. Hold, please. Metis is in Virgo. So it's a fixed star in Virgo. So when you do your due diligence, right, when you do the work, and when you are able to see the details and attend to the details, as well as standing back and dealing with the bigger picture, then likely acclaim can come your way. So I'm not sure that you would find about, I mean, once you know the houses, and then once you learn the planets and what they mean, then you really don't need someone else to tell you what that means in that house, because you're going to know, because you know what the 10th house is all about. So it's about encouraging yourself to really, you know, tell the story from your own point of view, right? What is, what kind of acclaim are you after in your world? Where would you like to be seen as an authority? What are you working toward? What's your dream career or profession? And how willing are you to do the work to get there? Because that's the other part of that Capricorn heritage, that Saturn heritage there is being willing to do the work to get you where you want to go. And you're welcome, Mary. And Adrian, I hope that helps, right? I hope that helps you a little bit there. Find out what Metis means and then apply that to that 10th house in your chart. But I would also look at, if you can, what relationships that fixed star has with other planets in the chart, say to the 6th house even. And is there something going on more deeply there that you can look at? Okay. Taylor, Virgo over the 10th with Mars there. So I thought you said Libra or Scorpio there. So Virgo's actually in your 10th house. So you're very similar to Kathleen Mallory, as it is about doing the work. It is about seeing the details, for not forgetting the details, because sometimes there is a sense with Virgo energy that one of two things, you're uber involved in the details and you got this tunnel vision and you can't see around, or it is that you're so into the bigger picture that you have forgotten the details. So the devil's in the details here, right? So being, you know, healthy, being detoxified, healing, working with the body, finding a path of service, because that is big in Virgo energy. It is about sharing of your gifts and your talents of yourself with the bigger, wider world. So don't be hesitant to get out there and do things, right? Do what it is that you love. Selena in the 10th in Taurus. So the white moon, Selene, wherever it is in a chart, shows you where you naturally find fame or fortune or acclaim or get recognized, and where you feel your best when you're doing it. At 10 degrees of Taurus, or in the 10th in Taurus, it could be that you feel really good as a builder, as a gardener, as a farmer, as a grower of things, a nurturer of things. You feel very safe and secure when you have a solid foundation, when your finances are in order, when your cupboards are full. So you might be an animal lover and you really love dealing with nature's creatures. So being grounded and very much earthly pursuits are what support you in life, as well as financial things, right? Sometimes with Selena in the 10th house, you might be a superb money manager and can help other people manage their money. Maybe you see things in the stock market or in how to manage finances that other people miss. So maybe you have skills there as well. And you're welcome, Adrienne. Asa, in whole sign, I have Moon and MC in Leo in the 10th house. And, you know, we've talked about this, Asa. We've talked about this because this is where you are meant to be seen in the world, right? And at some point, I totally expect that you will emerge out of the shadows and into the fullness of your own authority in whatever it is that you choose to do, whatever work that you choose to do. If it's Leo, it has to be heart-centered work. It has to be you following your heart, following your desires, right? So often I think Leo, in a feeling of a lack of confidence in themselves and in their own skills, becomes the follower instead of the leader, right? Or succumbs to what other people want or expect of them. And instead, you're meant to roar on your own, right? To emerge out there fully, following whatever your heart's desires are. If your heart's desire is to be a government employee and to move up the ranks of the government, yay, right? Then that's what you need to do. But if your heart's desire is to own your own business, to be an astrologer or a guide or a coach, like I know that's much more into your liking, then that's what you do because your heart's calling you. It's just pulling you in that direction, irregardless of what other people want from you, right? It doesn't mean that you ignore your responsibilities. It means that you do what you have to in the moment while you are being pulled further and further along to where your heart desires to be. So there you have that. Okay, good. Thanks, Taylor. And Asa says, so we've got that. So Virgo, Taylor, to answer maybe a deeper question that you're asking that you haven't really asked is, where's your authority, right? Well, Virgo authority is in the goddess herself, right? This is the goddess living in practical balance with nature and nurture. So I always think of Virgo energy. It's the details. That's the practical organizing kind of sign, but that's so just superficial because there's just a real, remember those commercials? You might not because you're young, but way back in the day, there were commercials for butter or margarine or something like that. And it was, don't fool with Mother Nature, or you can't fool Mother Nature kind of thing. And then Mother Nature gets irritated because she finds out it was margarine and not butter after all. So Virgo reminds me of Mother Nature, right? Wanting to live close to the land, close to the natural world. But sometimes not being able to detoxify themselves enough to get there. So the 10th house, you would have to really get some clarity around what really makes you excited. What details do you need in order to get to where you're going, but also see the bigger picture. So a healer, is good for Virgo. I think sometimes you can even go into things like, serving in a capacity, whatever that means to you. So serving, sharing your talents in some way with the world. So let's see, if Virgo is on your 10th house, what's on your 6th house? Because that might tell you what the work is that you do, while the bigger dream is something that you attain to or that you're trying to get to. All right. So that is it for me. Gosh, it's already after 9. How does that time fly like that? I just don't know. So hopefully you all learned a lot today about the 10th house. And I would urge you all to get your charts and look at your own personal 10th house and see what story you can tell for yourself without me having to tell you the story. I think you know enough about astrology now that when you see Cancer up there on the 10th house, you go, oh, Cancer, right? A sign of nurturing, of mothering, of taking care of feeding, of clothing, of housing, of mothering. I think I said mothering. So my 10th house, my authority really lies in how I care for. So now my career or my dream job, how does that match up with it, right? Maybe I have a dream of being a healer. Maybe I have the dream of being a mother. Maybe I love children. That's a Cancer job. And all I want to do is be a preschool teacher. That's my dream, right? But I need to move toward that dream. So you can do this for yourselves. Look at the sign, see the qualities of that sign, then ask yourself, what is my dream? What if I could create something, my dream job, my dream, when I died, what would people say about me kind of job? What would it be? And how does that play in with the sign that I have on the 10th house? because that's really how simple that really is, right? Your own authority is what you really love to do, what you would give up things to do, right? So look at it that way. All right, guys, that's it for me today. I will see you tomorrow, Thursday. I have a new deck of cards we're going to play with tomorrow. My friend Debbie sent me a new deck of cards, new Oracle deck called the Halloween Oracle. And we're going to play with that tomorrow. So be ready for some readings, lifting the veil between the worlds every night or every day, such as the case may be. So I will see you tomorrow then. Take care, everybody. Bye for now.